Yeah.
So now, Chris, show me a little...
Well, this is the citrus annex, as I was saying. Basically, almost all of them are dwarf rooting stock because they're in pots, as you can see, and so very shallow rooting system. They don't need a lot, and they've all got an individual dripper.
They're quite large pots, system. Though, aren't they?
Yes, so they are. Yeah,
40 centimetres in diameter.
Yeah, something like that.
No, bigger than that. 50 centimetres.
The largest I could get at the time that I.
And they're terracotta pots, which lose a bit of water, don't they? No,
they're plastic.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, so they are.
The terracotta look-alike, which I like the look of, so to speak.
So you've got quite a lot of citrus down here.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17, 18, something like that.
So 17, 18 citrus, all in pots, all with their own little watering.
Yeah, so there's 3 or 4 different lemons. There's a couple of tangelos. There's a couple of... native finger limes, there's a couple of kumquats, a couple of blood oranges, ruby grapefruit, and a couple of different kinds of limes, so a Mercat lime and a Tahitian lime, and that's my newest acquisition, which is a Buddha's hand citron. I don't know whether you love citron, but if you like kumquats, you probably do.
Oh, I love kumquats.
It creates a huge lemon lime cross that's shaped like a hand, like a human hand.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to come back and look at it when it's right.
Great.
So this is a real example of how people who've got very limited space could grow a lot of citrus.
A lot of fruit. You could do a lot. So these ones are...
Oh, here's on the other side of the driveway.
Yeah, very dwarf rooting stock of... my favourite apple... and these are 2 peaches and a nectarine, basically.
And are they heavy cropping?
It depends. Well, in the case of stone fruit, they tend to have a sort of off-season and an on-season every alternate, year. But, yes, sometimes they do. At the moment, I've moved these just recently and I need to find a way to put a net back over them again because otherwise the birds. And this is a hazelnut hedge. There's 4 or 5 different varieties of hazelnut planted there
It's a very large leaf, the hazelnut.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Is
it a vine or is it a tree?
No, they're actually trees and they grow quite densely. I've let them kind of grow that way because they do make a nice barrier in summertime. But I've also planted this golden ash.
Are these deciduous?
Yeah.
So then in the winter you get
this,
the same.
This too. So in about 3 years' time, I think that will be really doing its job in terms of shading the whole of this.
So this is west-facing?
Yeah, northwest. So that's north over there, basically.
Okay. So it'll shade your house, keep your house cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Shade this window.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why the citrus are there too, because they do shade the wall
and stop
the wall heating up. They like the heat, but I don't, so it's a reasonable
that's
compromise.
Why we all live in the mountains.
And, I've got some grapevines that I'm training. This is my favourite wine grape variety.
So but this looks beautiful. The little grapes that are just forming in their wonderful-looking cluster.
Yeah.
And do you pick them all or do the birds get them?
Normally the birds try hard to get them, so I need to throw a net over them once they start to really form up into...
I suppose that would be easy enough. What do you attach it to the roof?
Yeah, well, at the moment that is attached to the roof and it's on a cleat. So the idea is I can lower the whole thing down and prune it or put the...
That's very clever,
put a net
Chris.
Over the top or whatever.
That's very clever. Thank you. Yep, so that what Chris has here is a rope that goes up to the roof, a little hook, and then comes down to the window ledge, which is 1.5 metres high, easy to reach.
Yep.
That's something. You need to be on the Edible Garden Trail and show people this wonderful garden.
One day when I at least semi-retire, I see them.
This is
one of the only 2 kind of in-ground. It's slightly elevated, but... So it has the really slow growers like fennel and kale and leeks. It has permanent things like asparagus on either side of this large bed here, plus the strawberries, as you see.
Mm-hmm. And the strawberries look wonderful. Lovely red strawberries.
And Rocket, of course, which is, once you've got Rocket, you've always got Rocket. And these crops of peas have just are just finishing off.
Are you saving the seed?
Yeah. So this is a Eucoma giant, the large snow peas, which is one of my favourites. And there's a new crop coming up underneath that you can see up against the trellis work.
Right, okay.
But yes, as soon as these have died off enough for me to pick for seed, I'll remove the whole lot.
And so you'll wait, because at the moment it's 2 metres high.
Yeah.
And it's got the peas that sort of starting to look a bit dead.
Very,
a little
very
spotty.
Seedy, yes.
A little spotty, is that an issue? Or
yes,
is that
it
just
is. It's mould and rust from the wet season that we've had.
Oh, right. But it's not going to affect the seeds?
No.
No,
okay. It affects the pods, but not the actual seeds inside.
Right, okay. So, yeah. so they wouldn't be as tasty before they turn to seeds?
No, they'd be fine.
Just fine, okay. Yeah. So that's quite a large area you've got netted there. Yeah. That would be, 6 metres wide by 2 metres... No, 6 metres long by 2 metres wide, thereabouts. That's a fairly
about
major...
7 or 8.
And you've made this with this big... What's this called?
It's called irrigation pipe.
Irrigation pipe into
star pickets.
So you can get
quite large, like 2 centimetres across diameter, and star pickets, yes.
And how long has this been there? Because it looks pretty robust.
Yeah, it's been there for a few years.
Okay.
The earlier netting I got was less robust, and the rosellas used to chew rosella-sized highways into my crops. This is a stronger, which I got through actually grapevine, so vineyard protection.
Okay. Yes, they need to netting. Have it pretty strong.
Yeah, and
you've just held it down at the bottom with bricks and things.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Okay, that's simple. Not even pegs.
No.
I'll chase you with my microphone. And we're going through some herb gardens here,
yes,
near the back
so this
door.
This is where I mostly keep my herbs again in pots.
Have you got an irrigation system going there?
Yeah, it's just the brown pipe.
Oh, yes.
The holes in it every 10 centimetres that you can see there.
Right, so it's a drip,
yeah,
a drip irrigation system.
Yeah. So this is a tree that I planted about 6 years ago. It's a Canadian maple, a lipstick maple, and one of the fastest growing trees. I needed it to grow really fast to give me the shade that it's now giving.
Okay, so this is shading your whole back garden, and it would be 6 metres high easily?
Oh, easily. No, more than that.
More than that?
Probably
ten metres
high, maybe.
Giving this wonderful
moment.
Shade over your back garden.
So in about 2 years' time, it will probably be as fully grown as it will be.
Right.
And then I'll do a skirt of the understory here.
Oh, lovely.
So that raises the canopy and allows more use of the underneath. I'm just waiting to see where it all ends up, basically. But
right. And it's beautiful shade that you get from
gorgeous.
A tree.
And in autumn, the colour is it's not called lipstick maple for nothing.
Oh, okay.
It's gorgeous.
Because there's something about in the summer, sitting under a leafy canopy that's really cool, isn't it?
It drops the temperature by 10 degrees on a really hot day.
Can you notice the difference between being underneath this shade cloth and underneath the maple?
Absolutely.
You can.
You do it yourself. You stand here.
Yes, this is hot. Don't like that.
You stand here in the shade.
Oh, yes, it's definitely several degrees cooler, isn't
it? Probably 4 or 5 degrees. And that's the shade cloth. If you stood out in the actual sun, it would be a lot hotter. Yeah.
6 years that's taken, so. And let me say the name again of that for our listeners.
Lipstick maple.
Lipstick maple. So
Canadian maple variety.
So 6 years and you've got the back garden shaded, really, but you're going for even more.
Yeah.
But
so I've planted it on the northwest side.
Right.
So that it gives maximum shade when I need it, because this is shaded somewhat by the shade cloth in the morning and by the house for a fair part of the day.
Yeah.
But in the afternoon, when that sun comes around, swings around from the west, you really need some protection. So, so these are basically more herbs, so various different kinds of mint and lemon balm.
This little courtyard, we're on the opposite side of the courtyard, and we've still got what's wonderful pots.
Pots and blueberries as well in pots.
And here at Hazelbrook, do your blueberries give you fruits?
They do. Mostly the birds have got those to date, so I need to figure out a way to put a some kind of netting over the top of them to protect them a bit. But
You don't need a big net over that, do you?
No,
really, they're quite small little shrubs.
And it might be that they get moved once they're not fully grown yet. So I've let the birds have them. But
so this is an amazing garden. This is just every little bit is covered by the looks of it.
Pretty much, yeah. So this is the only other in-ground bed. It's got mostly long-term things like artichokes and rhubarb and stuff like that. But I've got a little... and some sylvan berries. They're brand new this year. I'd never heard of sylvan berries before I went on the edible garden trail.
Okay.
And saw one of these arches absolutely covered with them. And did a bit of research and found they're really, very, very popular for a good reason. They're delicious, apparently.
Only 10 inches tall
at the moment. 40 yeah, but they were. Within 2 years, they'll cover the entire arch.
So this is a lovely arch. How did you make this arch?
Well, I didn't, but Mike just got some Rio. Bent it and it twisted some little wires like twistums on the top to join the two sections together. And
so it's a nice little arch, and in the middle there you're growing corn, is that it?
Popping corn and various kinds of pumpkins and melons.
Right, and you've got that irrigation pipe, the dripping irrigation pipe in there as well.
And there's also purple asparagus on either side of the beds too.
Has that only just gone in?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you can just see one little stalk coming up there, for example.
Right, okay.
Can you see the spear?
Yeah. Oh, right, yes. Yes, so you have to leave that. Because my asparagus has been giving me asparagus for weeks.
Oh, how do you like?
I know, but I did put it in 8 years ago.
Yes, I know. I love asparagus, so it's my favourite vegetable. So this is one of the above ground beds. To be honest, if I had my time over again and I knew what I was doing, because I didn't really 10 years ago when I moved here, I was a fairly novice productive gardener, I'd have made wicking beds of the lot of them. One day maybe I'll get around to doing that, but at the moment they're not wicking beds. This one I probably shouldn't have put up the way I did, but I got the iron for relatively free/cheap.
Yeah.
So
it looks like roofing iron that you've used.
It is. Yes, that's exactly right.
Some sort of little metal corner posts.
Yeah.
But because of the weight of the soil, it's sort of swelling out a little bit.
Yeah. It's distorted itself, but I can get that fixed. A couple of star pickets will probably.
And that's covered by once again this irrigation pipe.
Yeah.
Sitting
it as hoops.
As hoops. And that'd be 2 metres high, so you can walk in there quite comfortably.
Yeah.
And your trees aren't going to... not that you've got trees in there, but you have in the other one.
Yeah.
You've really put some infrastructure into here, haven't you? There's quite a lot of infrastructure
that
you've created.
Not incredibly expensive infrastructure. So the large roll of... I don't know whether you can see the difference, but there's a narrower irrigation pipe called Green Line with the green stripes on it.
Mm-hmm.
And down there you can see the wider irrigation pipe of the Blue Line.
Okay, yep.
And a big roll of the Blue Line cost me like $100.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, second hand. So, it doesn't need to be expensive to create the infrastructure.
I hope that you can get it second hand from somebody. Why would someone have second hand irrigation pipe?
I think it was a farmer...
Just had
spare, didn't need it, whatever.
Right.
So the biggest difficulty was actually going and
getting
it picked up. Yeah.
And
so as you can see, I have comfrey everywhere. A bit like Rocket, once you have comfrey, you always have comfrey.
But it's so good in the compost.
Yes, exactly. So,
and I'm just making compost tea at the moment.
Right.
Not compost tea. This tea.
Yeah, yeah, comfrey tea.
Tea.
Yeah.
And
works as compost tea, though.
And it smells delicious. Other people hate the smell, but I think it's really so organic, like cow poo,
So my compost is the straw and droppings off the bottom of the chook run.
That's a chook run.
Oh, we'll get there. mixed with lots of comfrey, mixed with crushed eggshells and coffee grinds.
Do you get the coffee grinds from the coffee shop or
no,
do you
get
own?
Them from my sister.
Oh, okay. Big coffee drinkers.
Yes, they are. So,
and then on the other side of this garden's going on forever. It's just a, it's just a normal size block that you're on?
Yeah, it's a little, nearly 900 squares, so a quarter of an acre block, basically.
Okay. Yeah. And you filled every bit of it. Every bit.
Yeah, I told you I was running out of room.
Yes, you're right.
So here we've got a couple of different kinds of figs. My favourite, white Adriatic and black Genoa. Various, again, in the orchard, mostly, not the figs, but most of the fruit trees are dwarf ruining stock because you can, as you can see, pile them in close together and still get a crop. And my aim is to get as many different varieties as I can so that although the crop off each tree is not huge, I get a succession planting with different varieties of the same crop and different crops.
And you'd have the bees coming in at all different times of the year.
Yeah. Well, you know, not all year round because in the middle of winter there's not much flowering.
Some nice looking figs growing on your fig tree there.
Oh,
I
yeah.
See.
Yeah.
Nice. Healthy. Now, this is covered by the 3 metre high.
Yeah.
Post. That would have been expensive to build.
Yes.
That's because
this whole thing cost me $5,000.
Oh, that's
like
quite
that.
A lot.
Yes, it is.
That's a lot
but
more than most
again,
people are putting in.
I was encouraged by the support of my local Rosellas, who were also creating Rosella-sized highways in through the netting that I previously had here. So this was previously the similar.
Right.
It was major hoops.
Mm-hmm.
And star pickets and other shorter poles, but this has been
an
absolute
forever.
Game changer. Well,
yes.
That and also the Rosellas and nothing else. You know, no the fruit bats, none of the white cockatoos. Nothing gets in.
So you must get a big crop of food from here.
Yeah.
Can you eat it all, or do you sell it at the market or something?
No, I don't sell it. I give it away or make it into jams or preserves.
Well, I saw your kitchen surrounded by thousands of jams.
I've run out of room there. So there's 4 or 5 different varieties of apricots, for example, 2 or 3 different varieties of white peaches, 2 or 3 different varieties of white nectarines. There's 2 different kinds of cherry.
Oh,
there's
gosh, that is an orchard.
And I don't know how many varieties of apples and pears. I'm not having much luck with pears at the moment. I don't think it's cold enough for some of them.
Okay.
And also,
because here at Hazelbrook, it's a bit warmer than up the upper mountains.
But also another possibility might be that the wind comes up that valley, southwest winds in the wintertime and early spring, and it may be that it's just too much for them at that wrong time when the bees are supposed to be out pollinating and that's not happening.
And you've got a couple of interesting little things in there. You've got, is that a fruit fly trap and what's the red thing?
Yep, that's a codlin moth trap as
okay.
well. There's a few of those around.
So you get fruit fly this far down in the mountains, do you?
Oh, yes.
And does this stop them, this little fruit fly?
No, it helps. I have, as you can see, when things are flowering, I have fruit fly traps absolutely everywhere.
Right, okay.
When the fruit is ready to,
So are these homemade fruit fly traps, or are
these particular ones aren't? But I use a lot of homemade ones. I get X water or drink bottles, as you can see.
Just
poke some holes in with a hot metal poker, and tie up something around them and fill them up with often a homemade fruit juice and a bit of yeast.
Right, okay.
A bit of water.
Just fruit juice and yeast.
Yeah, well, it ferments and then they fall into the bottom and
drown. Happily. Because quite drunk.
Very happy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you've also got your ground cover here, nasturtiums.
Yeah.
And weeds.
No, well, some weeds, but mostly every year at different times of the year, I sow 2 kinds of ground covers. One, a grain, so you can see the wheat, actually.
Yeah, that's okay.
And this one is woolly pod veg, and it's a nitrogen fixer.
Yeah,
bees
like
love
it.
Got
that pea look about it that says I'm a nitrogen fixer.
So at different time of the year, I might sow oats, for example, and the idea is a weed suppressor. a living mulch that and just I allow to die down.
So then when it dies down, it's ready again? Or do you put something over the top to get the seeds to take?
No, I just...
You just sprinkle them in?
Yep.
Just chuck them in?
Yep. Okay. So I've got a couple of different kinds of quinces, one of my all-time favourite foods.
Yep.
Several different kinds of persimmons.
How do you move around in there?
Well,
it's very densely planted.
It is at the moment because I've allowed it to grow because of the height now. This,
right. Eventually you're going to have to prune that inside,
oh, yes.
Aren't
so
you?
I do it every year in winter, but I'll do a... after the stone fruits are finished, I'll do a heavy summer prune for those to shape them again more often.
And what's that?
Sideways.
Is that a codling moth? There's a little
That's another codling moth trap.
And so what have you got in there? That's for people who want to know about how to get rid of the codling moth. So
well, deter them is probably a better description.
Deter them.
So basically you get a little lure on a plastic... Remember the old-fashioned fly trap, the plastic stuff?
Yes, horrible stuff, the sticky stuff.
Similar kind of concept. Ooh. So it's got a little lure in the middle, like a pantry moth trap.
Right.
Attracts the codling moth, and then they stick to the sticky thing. So those inserts need to be changed every year.
I see. Okay. Wow. And you've got... Is this passion fruit you've got here?
No, that's a dwarf black mulberry.
Oh, right.
And then there's a couple of different kinds of olives, which haven't actually produced any olives yet, but they're starting to work as a really good windbreak.
I can see some baby olives
actually,
on there.
You're right.
Yep.
Yee-haw.
Yep. Not many, but one little bunch.
Anything's better than nothing.
That's right. And what we've got here. Oops.
Yeah, so these two beds that we passed on the right-hand side are the raspberry bed and the rubus bed, so all the other loganberry. Thornless blackberry, etc. There's an orange tamarillo that I grew from seed, and potatoes and...
So you've got the potatoes in big black pots.
Big black pots.
To keep those contained. Mm. You've done a lot of pots. And have they got their own little drip system? They have,
of course.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. And a black currant bush.
Right, also in a pot. And I see some red currants ready.
Well,
turning black.
They will turn black. A couple of other different varieties of figs. And as you can see, they are underplanted with strawberries and there are other strawberry things over there. So I will use your...
my little rocks.
Your little deterrents. Thank you.
Well, that's to keep the birds away, but the birds aren't going to get in there anyway.
Well, probably not, but just in case.
So what I've just given you is a little red, just smooth pebbles about the size of a strawberry that you put in the strawberry patch
red.
And the birds come and hurt their beak and they don't come back.
Sounds good to me. A couple of different varieties of pomegranate.
Have they given you pomegranate fruits?
Oh, not yet.
So how old are they?
Junior. One of them's actually quite old, the original one, so that one. But I've transplanted it from inside the orchard where it was really just taking over absolutely everywhere, out here where it can grow to its height. So as you can see, I am now taking over the verge in a big way.
Right.
Feijoa.
Have you had any fruits on your feijoa?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You have? I love feijoa, but my feijoa went with falls, won't give me any fruit.
Oh, really?
No.
So you can see a couple of flowers there. So.
Do they need a propagator nearby or something? Or is it just one bush?
There's two bushes there, so they seem to... pollinate themselves.
I'm jealous. Because it is much warmer down here.
It's much warmer.
I can even feel it today.
Yeah. So this is one of the apple trees that was actually here on the property but when I arrived.
This is also netted in an architecturally interesting
net structure. And this is also a much stronger net. And I am planning, once the fruit is taken out of here in autumn, to replicate that.
Do another one of those $5,000 jobs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's actually not a cheap endeavour.
Well, not keeping the birds away.
Yes.
No. They seem to have kept out of this particular one reasonably well because it's got the stronger netting.
This is a black netting.
Yeah.
So they don't get trapped in it.
Well, no, I haven't had them trapped, except when they sometimes find their way inside and I have to figure out a way to let them out. But again, there's quite a few, there's a couple of apples.
How do you get in?
Oh, I just lift up a rock.
Lift up the bottom. Right, okay. Because there's not a gate.
But there will be gates.
Right.
There's also a couple of self-sown trees in here. And along here I have two experimental... That's a collection of chestnut trees, which I've planted in the one hole in an effort to kind of bonsai them a bit.
Okay.
And there's a couple of... pecan trees in one hole.
I can't believe how much you have on a suburban block.
There's a lot.
There is a lot.
You can see why I'm running out of room.
A lot of work, Chris. Do you spend a lot of time?
I should spend a lot more than I do.
Well, it doesn't look as if it's overtaken by weeds or anything.
Well, yeah. I mean, this last season's been really hard with weeds. As you can see, I use Slasher.
Okay.
So I just spray. So all around the house, partly for bushfire, is crushed sandstone.
Oh, okay. So that's what we're walking on.
That's what crushed. We're walking on, crunching on. And
now we're going to the chook house.
Here we are. So these are...
Oops. But not before we pass these.
Mostly blood plums that were here, okay. And have self-seeded. You are.
They're little creatures, that's all. Yeah.
Get those. And this is another one of the apple trees that was on the property when I arrived.
Okay, so what do you do with this? Do you spray this with milk? This is this white, mouldy-looking stuff.
And, you know, that's the sort of thing that I should be getting around to much more than I do, but I work full-time, so it's a bit of a challenge sometimes.
I've been using powdered milk that went off in the cupboard.
Right.
So, you know, because you don't... I bought a big bag of powdered milk, right. And so now I spray it on this when this comes up.
Okay.
It seems to work.
It works. Yeah, good. Water tank... That's an overflow tank from the house that I use for an additional water supply for the chooks because it's on one of those little ball cock arrangements, and that's the tumbler composter.
Do you do that?
Yeah.
Use the tumbler? Because
yeah,
I found
absolutely.
Those very heavy. So you don't find it too heavy?
Well, no. I don't fill it up completely.
You're strong. And what have we got here, all these bottles of
wine-making equipment that's just sitting out in the...
Waiting for you to make wine.
Waiting for me to get enough...
Of something.
Of the Chambersin.
Oh, right. Okay.
Grapes to be able to make.
Make your own
wine. Somewhere to make it in.
What a productive place this is. And here we have the ladies.
Well, actually, what I discovered is that the Arakuna... Oh, you can't see him. He's just walked over there and he'll probably come back again. But he's actually not a hen. He's transforming into a rooster, Cursed.
Okay. So what are you going to do with him?
I don't know.
Neighbours aren't going to like that.
No, I have to find somewhere to give him...
And it spoils your eggs.
Yes. But I have to find somewhere to give him to.
Yes.
Or someone who's willing to chuck him in the pot.
Well, I have heard this... I'll have to find her phone number. There's a woman that takes her... roosters. She lets them live until they're just about roosters, and she takes them to a place that kills them humanely.
Okay.
And then they become dinner. But they're humane killing.
All right. Well, I'd love to hear about that. Because that's the first time I've had this problem here, and I don't know where to go.
Has he started doing his rooster call, or does he just look like a rooster?
He started just yesterday to try and think about doing a rooster crawl.
Okay.
So that's the watering thing with the ball cock system in that and the
so
other
one. They've always got water.
Oh, it's fallen off again over there. So, always water.
So the good thing about chooks, you've always got that lovely stuff for the compost, haven't you?
Indeed.
Yeah. So we go up here.
Yep, please.
So now through a little avenue of something.
Mulberry. You can see why I don't join the system. The edible garden trail yet because it's a workout
dangerous
kiwi fruit, which is as you can see is just going absolutely everywhere, and somewhere in there there's a self-seeding almond tree as well.
Right, so your kiwi fruit's a bush.
It's a huge two or three vines. So
how old would that be?
That's been in here pretty much since I arrived, so 10 years.
Mm, yeah, 10 years I get to about that stage.
So this is new, and this pile of rubbish is what was here previously as the star picket and hoop kind of concept, covered with this
shade cloth stuff.
Shade cloth fabric.
So now we have looks like a little greenhouse, it's a white house.
And it's
made out of white. Oh, it's new. It's very new.
Very new.
It's like a little house, but it's, you've got all your watering system in there ready to go. Are you going to put it all in pots, are you?
Yeah. Well, no. So I'm going to take some of them out of pots, actually, and if you want to go down that way. And have a trench dug along here because they're sitting out in pots at the moment. These are my subtropical experiments.
Are they going to live inside their little white house?
No, most of them I think are going to actually live out here.
Oh, on and the north might, side of the white house.
Yes, exactly. And we might need to put in some kind of a system, again, with probably with the hoops, to put a bit of shade cloth over the top in the winter time just to protect them from the frost, because this was a very old apple tree that was here on the property and it's just died, I think. So it shed that branch in those
That was huge then.
Yes, it was enormous. It was much bigger before because that bit that was cut off there went way up, and so it provided a lot of shade here.
It would have.
And provided good coverage for some of these plants that need to be protected from the frost. So we'll have to come up with something else and replant something, a deciduous tree here somewhere. But so things like babaco and mangoes and, well, the pineapples are now out in the... but the cafe lime, coffee... lemongrass, those kinds of things were previously in the greenhouse, and I think they can survive outside in the ground.
Right,
now.
Okay.
So we'll do that. But I have had fruit off most of them.
Wow. God, I can't believe how productive this is. Now we're in another raised bed.
Yeah, so this is the main netted. Sort of veggie. We get lots of insects, which is pluses and minuses. So
some lovely looking broccoli growing in here.
Yeah, broccoli mostly, and I put in Brussels sprouts and things like that towards the end of the season.
And a little fake butterfly, does it work to keep
butterflies? Well, I think they do actually. I think they make a difference.
Okay.
So this is the parsnip bed.
Parsnips.
It never manages to have anything else in it other than parsnips, which is just, I love parsnips.
2.5 metres high parsnips.
Yeah.
And you're letting them go to seeds?
Well, you have to every year because you need fresh seed with parsnip. It won't store, so it has to be the same year, basically.
Okay. Oh, right.
And this is celery and
this is another
kinds of
above
lettuce,
ground.
Mostly. Yep. So it's my salad bar at the moment.
Right. Well, that's nice and close to the house.
Yeah, well, I try to, swap crops around, basically, do a bit of crop rotation, and around the corner from the...
Oh, my goodness, you've got a big bank here of water tanks.
Yeah, so that's about 10,000 litres for the garden.
Right.
So there's three...
Three big banks
three
of water
Three big
tanks.
Banks, and that's... needs hedging. Gooseberry. Patch.
Right.
And I've got other things like that's a macadamia tree past the thing, and there's a couple of other macadamia trees planted.
I can't believe
around.
You work as well as doing all this.
And I'm currently curing my second lot of prosciutto. I did my first one last year.
Ooh.
And it actually turned out good. So I'm looking forward to, I don't know whether you can see the leg.
Yeah. What are you doing? How are you doing that? What are you doing with it?
Well, you just brine it, basically, for a couple of weeks. Turn it over so it gets... The salt gets right through the meat.
And so it's hanging in a cage covered by black plastic to keep it warm.
Well, no, it's not to keep it warm, it's to keep the rain off.
Right, okay.
And it's in a cage to discourage the other things who might think that it looks tasty.
I think we're running out of time. Here we are.
Yeah, go ahead. That's all right.
Thank you very much. I think we've covered this amazing garden. I can't believe it. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.